My name is Jake McLaughlin. I've had the pleasure of worshiping with you all for many years now. My wife and I worship here. I also have the pleasure of working at our Herndon campus in the works we do around compassion and social justice. So it's just great to be here with you all today. And we are wrapping up our Not Alone series, where we've been learning about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this week, I've really been reflecting on and thinking about the power of invitations. When my wife and I found out that we were pregnant with our first child, we were ecstatic. We were excited to start a family after 5 years of infertility. Now, as you can probably imagine, our family and friends were pretty excited for us too. They knew how much they knew how much we wanted to be parents. And I had a particular friend who I had known for almost 30 years, and he was happy for us too, so much so that he said he would fly here to Northern Virginia soon after the delivery to be with us, spend time with us, and meet our new son. He was like a brother to me, so of course I encouraged him to come. Within a week or so of our son being born, my friend went radio silent. No news of plane tickets purchased, no well wishes, nothing. Our son's birth was one of the most amazing moments of our life, and I didn't so much as get a phone call or a text message. So not only did he not show up, he didn't even have the courage to call and tell me why. We had made space for him to be with us during this momentous and special time, and he didn't show up. Now, I bet many of you have experienced an invitation or a promise or a commitment that was broken. Maybe you can recall the feeling. Maybe of anger or of frustration. Maybe disappointment or sadness. Maybe shame. But there is a bright side to invitations when they are lovingly and graciously accepted. In that same time that my decades-long friendship was coming to an end, we decided that we were going to baptize our son at our home church in New Orleans. We invited friends and family from far and wide to join us in this celebration. When we arrived at the church that day, we were overjoyed at who was there. Family had come by car and by plane from Texas and Chicago and New Jersey. Friends came by car and by plane from places as far away as Salt Lake City. We invited our dearest friends and loved ones, and they showed up joyfully and full of love for us and for our baby boy. It was one of the most special moments in our life. We felt loved, we felt cared for, we felt a spirit of grace and community. As I was reflecting on this experience and the power of invitations, I realized that the greatest of invitations in our lives are most often born from a very deep and abiding love. And in our scripture from the Gospel of John, I read an invitation for us to live in the unity and grace of the Holy Spirit. And here's what Jesus says to us in this scripture. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And here's what stood out for me mostly this week. Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Can we just look at that for a moment? Can we just all just take a look at it? In this scripture, I read an invitation from Jesus to us. But even more than that, I read and experience Jesus' vision of what our lives may look like when we accept the invitation to live within and through the Holy Spirit. It is an invitation that changes us and changes others. Now, let me also tell you what it's not. It's not, out of the believer's heart shall trickle drips of tepid water. And it's not, out of the believer's heart shall stand lakes of non-moving, stagnant water. Jesus says, rivers of living water. In the culture of Jesus' time, this was an outrageous and bold claim that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, lie within us. God isn't just in the temple, only accessible to the religious elites. The Holy Spirit flows through us into the world like rivers of living water. And I love this imagery of rivers. I love the imagery because rivers are powerful. Rivers can be slow and rushing, wide or narrow, and rivers will carve through anything. One only has to look at the Grand Canyon to know the power of a river. Rivers, just like the Holy Spirit, are relentless. The Holy Spirit can carve its way through any heart. The Holy Spirit can carve its way through any situation. And rivers also sustain life. Without water, we die. And without the Holy Spirit living within and through us, we don't fully live rich spiritual lives, lives that tell the world of God's goodness. And now, even with this powerful imagery of rivers of living water, it is sometimes hard for us to believe or feel that God may want to work in and through us. Maybe it's because we don't feel quite worthy enough, or good enough, or smart enough. Maybe we don't feel religious enough. Or maybe, friends, we're just too preoccupied and self-centered. But Jesus offers us an invitation time and time again to be guided by the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would be our companion through life. Jesus offers us an invitation into a living spirit as powerful as rivers, meant to guide our way in the midst of our joy, in the midst of our pain, our sorrows, and our hopes. The Holy Spirit, friends, is meant to be our companion, leading us, walking with us into a transformed and spiritually rich life. And when we seek the Holy Spirit, it will guide us daily, leading us to be more compassionate and kind, more just and more loving. And the Holy Spirit will also convict us when we see injustice, or it will give us courage when we are confronted with challenges or with evil. The Holy Spirit changes us for the better. When we accept Jesus' invitation, our hearts and minds move towards God and God's kingdom. The wants and desires of the world become less and less important. Those who crave money and power and status may begin seeking generosity and service. Those who struggle with addiction may begin seeing the damage they are causing to themselves and to their loved ones. Those who are lonely may begin finding companionship and community. Those who get involved with the Holy Spirit see their lives transformed, and others will see it too. In my role at our Herndon campus, I've seen it time and time again. I was thinking recently about one of my leaders who originally came from a faith tradition that had little interest in compassion and social justice. The power of the church and the power of God, they believed, only rested with the pastors. He saw the work that we were doing in the community and the different ministries that we had, and he decided to get involved in things like teaching English and working with the homeless. And week after week, month after month, he volunteered and gave more and more of himself. And I began to see a change in him. He was always a nice guy. I always thought very highly of him, but his countenance changed. His interactions with people changed. He developed a spirit of joy and generosity that everyone could see. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul suggests that there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like a river can carve and create something as beautiful as the Grand Canyon, the Holy Spirit carves grace and love into our own lives and into our relationships. The people you come into contact with will experience the Spirit through their interactions with you. Our lives can and will testify to God's abounding grace. Remember, Jesus confidently proclaims what the life of the believer would look like: rivers of living water. And the invitation for all of us is on the table. The question for us today is this: are we going to show up and claim what Jesus has promised? We can feel far away from God. We can feel alone or unwanted, but friends, I think that says more about us and our circumstances than it does about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was given to us out of a great and abiding love, a love so great that it rushes like a river. We are so very loved that God's Spirit is present and available to us. We just have to show up. We have to claim our invitation and seek a relationship with the Spirit of the living God. So how do we do it? What's next? Well, first things first, we can't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit if we aren't praying and communicating. So I'd like you to do me a favor. I'd like you to take out your bulletin and your pen. And all of us in this time, in this moment, are going to write a prayer to the Holy Spirit for this week. So use your notes section or anywhere you'd like. And I want you to write a simple prayer to the Holy Spirit that you can say over and over again this week. And friends, it does not have to be complicated. So what might your prayer look like? It could be, Holy Spirit, come. It could be, Holy Spirit, fill me with your grace. Maybe for some of you here today, it might be, Holy Spirit, are you there? Or maybe it's, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your strength today. Now, friends, I want you to pray this prayer as often as you can. And then I want you to wait. I want you to wait for what you may hear from God. I want you to wait for what you may feel or experience. Because as we actively seek a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we claim Jesus's invitation into a transformed life. Now, we are going to use your prayers and do something a bit fun, thanks to our wonderful worship leader, Amy. Near your chairs, you should have some bubbles. I think I have some too. Go ahead and grab your bubbles, friends. And yes, we're gonna blow bubbles in church, friends. Might be a first for many of you. It's a first for me. So, friends, in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and all of us are going to blow bubbles. And I want you to imagine, as we do this together, I want you to imagine the bubbles falling and rising and falling, as if they were the Holy Spirit. And as you watch the bubbles, I want you to say your prayer once or as many times as you want. And I want you to watch the Holy Spirit not just descend upon you, but descend upon us all. So we're gonna give this a whirl, friends. Which side do we use, Amy? Is this side? Okay, we'll see how this goes. Yeah, you know what? That's a great idea, Tim. Let's stand up, friends. So we're going to watch the Holy Spirit rise and fall amongst us, okay? All right. On three. One, two, three. Some of you are better at blowing bubbles than others. I love it. It's great. That's right. That's impressive. Wow. It's like that big. That's a big prayer. That's the Holy Spirit. Friends, thank you so much for doing this. This is really great. How'd they get so high? I love it. Now, friends, thank you again for doing that and trying that. That's really, really cool to see. Now, I do want you to do me a favor before you go. I do want you to take that prayer home that you wrote. If you want to rip off that sheet, put it in your pocket, or put it in your wallet or your purse, just keep it near you this week. And if you want to blow bubbles at the same time, you know, by all means, you can take that home too. And this week, friends, I do want you all to try to pray that prayer as much as you can. Again, it didn't have to be complicated. It's Holy Spirit, fill me. Pour out your Spirit, God, on us. And friends, as we move to communion, I want us to also remember that we are invited into the beautiful and relentless nature of the Holy Spirit. And when we claim it, our lives are transformed. And just like Jesus said, for those who believe, who claim this invitation, shall flow rivers of living water. Amen.